What can we do as a church? The church actually is taking a whole church participating approach to support missions, not just for the 10 people, but everybody who is sitting here today, and also the other two congregations, actually three, the CMC, the MMC, and also the JMC. So what can we do as a church? First of all, and most importantly, is to pray for them. Pray for their preparations. They are still doing the final leg of the preparation, communicating with Cambodia, and what can we do? What can prepare the hearts for the people that are living there now? So we minister to those people, pray for them. Prepare for the, because during this time, they will be preparing for materials to bring over there. So work with them and see what their needs are. And approach Pastor Brendan. You know, if you don't know anything, approach Pastor Brendan or anybody that is participating in the team, knowing what they need, and do as much as you can. Pray for their bodily health, mental health, and particularly spiritual health, because it is a spiritual war. So prayer is very important. See how we can mobilize God's hand to do amazing things, not only for the 10 brothers and sisters who are participating, but also as a church, everybody that are sitting here. See what God is doing in your life through that mission trip. So praying is the first and most important thing. Secondly, is financial support. As I mentioned, our church approach to short-term mission is the whole church participation. So we would love to have all the brothers and sisters make offering into the short-term mission fund that we set up. We have a target of $41,000 for this Cambodian mission trip. So financially support them so that they have all the materials. They don't have to worry about anything when they go. So two things: praying and financially support them. So coming back to the mission committee, that is why I'm standing here. The committee is, like I said, is to promote the culture. And also, we are, maybe I should introduce the member first. I see that from the CMC, we have two members, Bruce Jung and Ivis Jung. If they are here, Ivis is over there. So would you stand up? So everybody recognize you. And from MMC, we have Lisa Yip. I saw her walking in. Yep, Lisa is over there. And most importantly, and I do a little bit of promotion here, is I'm still looking for someone from EMC. So if you're interested, approach Pastor Brendan, Pastor Tim, or Pastor Arthur, or even myself. So if you're interested, we would love to have you participating with us for this most important work for the church, for the kingdom of God. So this year we are planning on updating our mission policy, and also taking a look at the mission budget, and more importantly is to look at how the church will do with the short-term mission. What are the goals? What are the strategies? What can we improve in doing short-term missions? This is not the only short-term mission trips to Cambodia. I'm sure there will be more. Not just for EMC, from JMC, from CMC, and MMC. So everybody is participating. So if you have any ideas, approach pastors. And at this time, I would like to hand the time to Pastor Alfred to pray for us.
So I'm going to invite you right now, if you could go up to these sisters and lay hands on them and pray for them while I will stay up here and pray for Duanis. Let's pray for them. You don't have to, but if you really feel the Spirit moving you, move up to them and lay hands on them and pray for them and lift them up in prayer, okay? So we're going to pray out loud together, and I'm going to close in prayer. Shall we stand together? God, we acknowledge you are the God of missions. You have sent your Son to us because you loved us, because you know of the dire need. What we really, truly need is Jesus. And so, Lord, we boldly declare as a church, we're willing to go where you send us, whether it is to our neighborhoods, whether it is to another country. Lord, we just want to know if you're sending us, we will go. And so, Lord, we pray for a Spirit-filled committee, a committee that's filled with men and women who are Spirit-filled so that they can discern where you're calling us, and that as brothers and sisters approach them and say, I think God is calling me to this place or that place, Lord, let us exercise with wisdom to support them, to encourage them, to help them get on their way to fulfill what you have laid on the hearts of ECAC brothers and sisters. And so, God, we just pray and ask boldly that we would not be a sleepy church, that we would not be a church who lies around thinking, what can the world do for me or what can the church do for me, but rather ask the question, Lord, where have you called me to be a servant, to be your hands and feet in the world, in my neighborhood? And so that is our heart's cry, Lord. And we commit our committee to you and ask that you would guide them, lead them, give them wisdom in all that they do in order to build up our church. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people say, amen. Amen. Please be seated.
That's so good. Oh, it's not here. It's coming. So good to pray for that committee and to commission them in this great work. And really, we would love more people to join that committee to help shape missions and the culture here at ECAC. Hey, a couple different ways that you can support Cambodia. We've been meeting almost every Friday to prepare, and it's been phenomenal. We had Darren Monaco last week at our meeting, and now it's really coming together. We're choosing specific things. We're teaching in the health portion. We have a sports camp we're going to be doing with kids. There potentially could be 100 kids a day per class, 100 in the morning, 100 in the afternoon. So pray for us, right? We're 10 people, and not all 10 can be there at the same time. But we're all going to do 3 sports. We're doing hockey. We have the hockey stick drive. We want you to pray over a hockey stick and bring it in, preferably new. I love new sticks to bring over to them. But if you have one laying around that's in good shape, that's good too. Hockey sticks, ice hockey is preferable for them. And then also we're going to be doing basketball. They have no basketballs. We're going to do soccer with them. They have no soccer balls. They have nothing, right? So we're going to bring a lot of this with us. We're going to buy some on site as well. But you can donate any of those items along with giving to the short-term mission. We are 20,000 away from our goal. And so we just want to highlight that one more time. In the bulletin, there's ways you can be praying. And there's a website you can go to. We update it every single week at minimum. And while we're there, we're going to update it. I think we're going to try to update it every day so that you can be praying up to date with us along the journey. Along with that, we have so much that God is up to here at ECAC that we're excited about. Our lecture series by our senior pastor starts up again this Tuesday evening, and that QR code is in the bulletin to join that. We have our facilities team getting a patrol going during our services to keep our place safe here as well. You can look to those people in the bulletin. We have Stephen Yoon, who's in EMC. You might know Rocky or Peter. And Lynn, that you can look to for those as well, to sign up for those rotations. My goal, my heart, was that we would be able to sign up for the 9:30 time slots, right? That we could serve them and allow them to go to their services in peace and not worry about their vehicles being broken into, and then they would serve us in that as well in that way. So I really love that. We have our EMC Sunday schools going on. It was really powerful this morning being in that space on holy sexuality. We have our Community of Women's small group that's meeting. You can check that out in the bulletin. And we have our May 19th and 26th, I want to highlight, because if you hear my kids this morning, there's going to be more kids here. There's no Sunday school that day, so they'll be joining us in our services, in particular the 26th, which is our commissioning for that mission as well on that day. You can see more. DC 2024 has a few more spots open, especially for the boys' cabins. And We Care is looking to expand. Honestly, God is on the move, and we are excited for what he's up to. What is he up to in your life? What is he up to in your life? Well, let me pray for you and for the offering today as Tim comes and preaches here today. Well, Jesus, as we think of our money and how we strive to have income and we strive to secure ourselves, whether it be for retirement or to have that buffer in our lives, whatever it could be, to have a good life, a happy life, we recognize today in this space that a happy life and a good life is found in you and you alone. So, God, we release money from our grasp today and we give back to you. We give back to you in our offerings today, our tithes, whatever it may be. We give it to you in your glory and your kingdom. I pray over Tim today. Lord, that your word would speak from his mouth to our hearts. That we'd be drawn so close to you in this space, in this holy ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brandon. And good morning, church.
See you all. I don't think this mic is on yet. Okay. Sweet. It's being worked on, I believe.
Good morning. Good to see you all.
Also, I wanted to highlight next week is going to be Baptism Sunday. So we are so excited for that and hope that you can join us to
celebrate with us on that.
I wanted to tell you guys a bit of a story today to start us off. So a couple of years ago now, it was probably, I don't know, 2-3 years ago now, Zoe and I, we were going to her sister's wedding. So this was during COVID, so it was a pretty small wedding. They were getting married in the mountains, so it was about, there we go, it was about a 3-hour drive for us, and they were getting married in the mountains. So COVID weddings, right, it was pretty small. We all remember those times, and because it was a small wedding, it was pretty much just family, they asked family to help out, right? You guys all remember that. Family had to help out. So one of our jobs for this wedding was to make the cake. So we made this cake, and something you need to know about this wedding is that it was a vegan wedding. I know. It was awful. I know. There is no meat. So the cake even, it had to be vegan, right? And usually the icing of a cake, it's made out of butter. And butter, it hardens, it holds the cake together. Apparently, vegan icing doesn't hold together quite as well as we thought it would. Anyways, we are on our way to this wedding, 3-hour drive, right? So we put the cake in the back seat. It's this layered cake. We put our hearts into this cake, right? It's in the back seat, and you know the drive to the mountains, right? There's curves, there's hills. You guys know where this is going, right? We take this turn, and it's a sharp corner. I'm pretty sure I was driving, right? So this is totally on me. We take this turn, sharp corner. We look to the back seat, and what do we see? This cake is falling apart. We take this corner and the tears are just sliding off of one another. It is just making this absolute mess. It is like worst case scenario as we look behind us going highway speeds and this cake is just falling apart. And obviously we pull over, right? And we go and it's during COVID. Everyone's worried about germs and we're there with like our bare hands just trying to like push this cake back together. And it was just an absolute mess. And keep in mind, this was like halfway through the drive. We still had like an hour and a half to go. So we were feeling all these emotions. And eventually we got there and we're able to kind of push the cake together. But the whole time, what am I thinking is I'm so scared of the bride, right? Like what is going to happen? That's so scary to me. Eventually we kind of push it together. We had these like decorative flowers. We just kind of covered it in that. It tasted fine in the end. There's little bits in it maybe, but it was fine. It was fine. But again, the whole time I was like so scared of the bride, and I was thinking, I'm so glad that at least it's family, right? Like imagine if it was like, if I was doing that for a friend or somebody that I didn't know quite so well, would be like even worse. I would feel even more awful. But I was like, at least it's family because they have to forgive us, right? And she was very gracious for us. You know that feeling where it's kind of different when it's family. Today in our message today, we're continuing on in this series called In Christ.
And we're going to really be looking at how when we are in Christ, we are adopted into the family of God, and how that's a really big deal for us. So we're going to read today out of Romans chapter 8, and it's a very important passage for us. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I have 1 to 17 up here, but I'm going to read the first four verses and then start again in verse 12, just for the sake of time. Feel free to go read the rest if you'd like. So Romans 8, we'll start in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then we'll jump ahead to verse 12, Alex. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The word of the Lord. So our passage today, it started with with this line right here. It starts with this statement. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me say that again. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I say that's the third time I've said that, right? I say that because how many of us can go out into the world, maybe go out to our non-Christian coworkers or friends, and we can brag about how the church is a place where there's no condemnation, right? Probably none of us can actually do that. Recently, one of my good friends who isn't a Christian, he asked me a question about the Bible, and I kind of answered him with this response that the Bible is this huge narrative, and it's not just a bunch of random books put together, but it's one beautiful story, really about God's love for us. And my friend's response to my answer was, wow, I always thought the Bible was a book of rules. I always thought the Bible was a book of rules, and I certainly don't think he's alone in thinking that. The church sometimes does a good job at forgetting how radical the grace and the love of our Jesus is. And my response to my friend is really, I think, what Paul is saying here in Romans 8. That actually, if you look at the great story of the Bible, one of the major themes in it is that a major theme in the Bible is that rules don't work, is that the law actually doesn't work. And the reason for that is because none of us can follow the law. Because all of us, each of us here, we are really good at messing up. Each of us here, we're really good at sinning and making mistakes, and it's impossible for us to fully follow the rules, to fully follow the law, to keep ourselves without sin. And that is exactly why we needed Jesus. That is exactly why we need Jesus, who out of love doesn't demand that we become perfect and sinless, but instead enters into our mess to save us. That is the God that we follow. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot reach God ourselves. We cannot be perfect enough to reach him, to reach heaven. We need a Savior. really a major theme in the Bible is this idea we cannot follow the rules. The rules don't work. We need Jesus. Each of us, the Bible tells us, we're actually worthy of judgment. Even looking here, we're worthy of condemnation, and that leads to death. So if we're stuck under the law, if we're stuck under rules, we all fall short. We all fall short. None of us can follow the rules. None of us can just try harder. Even if you just hate sin and you're trying really hard not to sin, you're still going to fall short of the glory of God. You're still going to fall short, and those rules, they don't work. And friends, this is why our only hope is Jesus. Our only hope is Jesus. You see, when you are in Christ, you trade in that condemnation. And when you are in Christ, as Paul is telling us here, there is no more condemnation over you. Because when we are in Christ, we are no longer bound to that law, but we are set free. Like verse 2 says here, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Has set you free. If we live according to the law, if we live according to the rules, to the law, we live under that, then naturally we will live under condemnation because we fall short. But when you live in union with Jesus, right, like we've been talking about in this series, when you are in Christ, you step out of that and you are freed from that condemnation. And instead, you step into the life and the freedom and the love that Jesus has for you. You really trade it in. And think about this in the context of our series, in Christ, right? In Christ. If we did not live in Christ, we live in that condemnation. We live in that sin. We live in that death. But when we're in Christ, we step into that freedom and that life and that love. And as Paul goes on to explain, we step into Spirit empowerment. And we could think of this, that trading in the condemnation and death and sin for this life and grace of Jesus, we could think of this in a big picture, right? Like from an eternal perspective, that's our salvation, isn't it? That we are saved by the grace of Jesus, and even though we deserve judgment, he gives us grace. And we can also think of this in a very personal way. Think about how this affects our lives, not just on an eternal scale, but even today, even this week. When here Paul tells us there is now no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. Do we live according to that? Or do you feel like there's condemnation, or I think we can even use the word shame in your life? That does not come from our God. This changes everything, not just on an eternal scale, but personally in our lives today. Maybe you're here, and you're sitting here, you're trying to put on a good face, but you just feel like your life is a mess. Maybe you feel like you just don't have it all together. And maybe you're even sitting here, and you're thinking, well, that can't be true. It can't be true that there's no condemnation. Friends, this is why we're working through this series, because when we are in Christ, he practically frees us from these things. Our God, he doesn't run when things get ugly in our lives, when we make mistakes, when things aren't going well, when we feel like everything is going wrong in our lives. Our God, he does not run away. He doesn't leave when bad things happen. Maybe when in your life you just feel like you're covered in shame. First of all, that's not from our God, and he does not run away. He is with you. And Paul, in our passage today, he goes on to keep explaining this in an even further and an even more profound and radical way when Paul starts to explain that we who are in Christ are adopted into God's family. That when you are in Christ, you are not just pardoned, but you are actually adopted into the family of God. I liked how the New Living Translation put these verses. He adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. You know, today in the church, we call God Father, right? We say it all the time, and it's great. We should call God Father, right? Our Father who art in heaven. We start prayers saying, Heavenly Father. That's a good thing. There's actually a verse in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3, where God says, I wish you would call me Father. We should call God our Father. And yet sometimes I wonder if that's such a common name we attribute to him that we forget how profound and amazing it really is that we have the privilege to call God our Father. You know, when we step into the life of the followers of God in the Old Testament, in the Jewish culture and tradition, and even in the first century, their big theological question, it wasn't, does God exist? That's probably our culture's big question, right? Does God exist? That wasn't theirs. They were they're in a desert. There's a pillar of fire. They're yeah, we've got that. We've got that figured out. That wasn't their main concern. The core theological question of those ancient people was, is God knowable? Is it possible to have a personal relationship with this almighty God? Is it possible to actually know God personally? Right? They'd go to the temple, they would do their sacrifices, they had these rhythms where they had these prayers every day, they knew the rituals, they certainly knew reverence of God. But can we really know God in a personal way? And Jesus, he comes and he answers that very fully. And Jesus, he makes God completely knowable. And Jesus even calls God his Father. He calls God his Father. And that is such a shocking title for the Almighty God. Think about that. The Almighty God, the creator of all things, to look to him and to call him my Father. That's a shocking title. It's profound for us. It's such an intimate word. He even uses in Romans here, says Abba Father, making it an even more intimate title for God. And it's a shocking title that we would actually call God our Father. Here in Romans, Paul states that when you are in Christ, you are not a slave, but you are a child. You are adopted into the family of God. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful thing? That when we follow God, we're not just a servant, we're not a slave, but you are a loved son or daughter of the High King. That we can enter into the throne room of the Almighty God, not with fear, but as his children, calling him our Father. And friends, as we're looking at this today, this is a huge part of being in Christ, that we are a part of the family of God, that we step into this intimate relationship with God. And we declare that not only is God knowable, not only can we know God, but we know God as a close family member. Isn't that an amazing thing? We declare this and we partake in his life and we partake in his very family. If you follow Jesus, then you are in Christ and you have been adopted into his family. And God looks at you and he calls you loved. And he calls you a son or a daughter. This is what it means to be a part of the family of God. And I want to highlight really here that the difference. Do you see the difference of following God and seeing yourself as a servant or a slave? Or maybe in your head you just have this idea, I need to be obedient to God because I don't want him to punish me. Do you see the difference in that mindset compared to understanding your identity and saying, I follow God not because I'm scared of him, but because I am a loved daughter or son of the High King? There's a huge difference there. The mindset of I just want to serve God because I'm a servant and I hope he doesn't get mad at me, or I serve God out of my identity knowing that he loves me and has adopted me. Can we accept this, church, as our identity as we are in Christ? In Christ, legalism, it falls. And in Christ, a radical love, is found. A radical love is found. In Christ, we become family with God himself. Being a follower of Jesus, it doesn't mean, oh man, I really have to try to follow these rules, or I have to try to be good, or I have to try to be perfect, or I hope I don't make mistakes, or maybe I hope my faith one day is really strong. It doesn't mean any of those things, but being a follower of Jesus means that you have traded that in and that you are a loved child of God. And as we accept that identity, we are transformed from the inside out, and it changes us because you're a part of his family. In Christ, you are not just some sinner. In Christ, you are not just some speck in the universe. No, you are a loved family member. You are a loved family member of God himself. So as we reflect on this, I ask us, do we know this? And maybe more than knowing, do we believe this? Do we believe this to be our identity? Probably not fully. Probably not fully. Do you still feel condemnation or shame over your life? Do you still, like, do you beat yourself up sometimes? Or do you maybe think that God is distant and far away? Or deep down, are you expecting that one day God is going to punish you? Maybe you struggle with that identity of being God's child. Maybe you struggle with, like, could I really be a son or daughter of God? Does he really love me and want me in that way? These are all things we can look to Jesus and let go of. Because you see, when we are a part of God's family, it's not because you're perfect. It's not because you don't make mistakes. You're not a part of God's family because your faith is perfect or because you're a really strong Christian or a really good person. No, you're a part of God's family the moment you accept the grace and life of Jesus. That's when you're adopted into his family, not once you're perfect. Romans 5, it tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't sacrifice for us once we had a strong faith or once we were better people. No, while you're still sinners, if you follow Jesus, you're adopted into his family, and he looks at you with great joy, a sinner though you may still be, and he calls you loved, and he calls you a son or a daughter. When we are in Christ and in his family, it changes everything. Not just on an eternal scale, but changes everything for us even here today in a personal way. You are not just some hopeless sinner. You're a child of God. You are loved. You are adopted into his family. Do we accept that as our identity? Do we accept that? God, he is not far off, but if you are in Christ, you are a part of his family, and we can enter into his throne room and call him our Father. So like the ancient people, we can ask, is God knowable? Can we know God? And without hesitation, all of us who are in Christ, we can say yes. And not only is he knowable, but he's knowable as a close family member. Not just can we know him, but we can know him as a close family member. In Christ, you find belonging, don't you? Look around at our world. How many people in our world are looking for a place where they belong? Are looking for a place where they feel value? Well, in Christ, you belong. And in Christ, you are a loved family member. So friends, today, let's accept that identity, that we are loved children of God. And I think the first step to that is probably to release those lies that maybe we hold on to in our hearts. Maybe the lie that I'm just too great of a sinner. Maybe the lie that God couldn't love me, God couldn't forgive me. Maybe the lie I'm not worthy to be a child of God. maybe the lie that I know I hear God loves me, but I think one day he's probably just going to want to punish me. Or maybe it's a deep shame that you feel, or the condemnation that you feel over your life. These are lies that are not from our God. Today I invite us to look to Jesus and to release these things to him. Let's release these things to him. And when you are in Christ, you are no longer under this condemnation. You're set free. Let's accept that today. In Christ, our story is not sin and shame. No, in Christ, our story is freedom and adoption. So maybe you're here and you feel alone, or metaphorically you feel kind of orphaned in this world. Today I invite us, we're just going to take a minute to pray in a few seconds. I invite us to accept our identity, that when you are in Christ, you're a loved child of God. You're a loved son or daughter of God. And I ask us, what would it look like practically if you accepted that identity? Think about even this week. What if everything you did this week, you did it knowing that you are a loved son or daughter of God? So let's just take a moment just to pray. First, to just release those lies that we might hold on to, and just to accept our identity. So Jesus, we come to you. And we look to you that you are so perfect. And we love you, and we look at how almighty you are, God. And we are amazed that we can call you family and that you call us loved. So today, for the many of us in this room that just struggle, maybe struggle with shame, maybe hear a voice of condemnation, or just struggle with our identity in you, Jesus, we just invite your freedom and release it here today. We release these things to you, Jesus. And today, God, we invite your identity that you give us, that we are not just specks in the universe. We are not just sinners, but we are loved children. We accept that today. And we pray that your love would transform us even this week. So God, we thank you. In your precious name, amen. Amen. So I encourage you to continue to reflect on that. And I'm just going to give us just a few minutes even here today. If you've been with us before, something we love to do is just to have a little bit of time just to reflect on what we've heard. So what you can do is we'll have some questions up behind me. You can use those if you find them helpful. And just find a few people around you. Just people around you. If you see someone sitting alone, feel free to invite them. No pressure if you don't want to partake in this. But find a few people around you just to discuss and just to reflect these things. And after that, our worship team will come and close us off today.
Okay, why don't we all stand up and respond. Thank you, Tim, for the message to us this morning. As we sing this song in response, I think it's very appropriate that, at least for me personally, I think it can be very easy to get lost in what our identity may be in the things that are directly in front of us, whether that's the work that we do, the grades that we get, the job, the responsibilities and roles that we fulfill in our lives, whether that's being a stellar parent or a great partner or a good friend. And sometimes I've found myself feeling stuck. You know, it's like, what can I do next? What can I do better? And it can be really easy to fall into that trap. But it is very encouraging to know that indeed our identity is in Christ, that we are a child of God, and that we have freedom in knowing that He has conquered the cross and He has given us His Spirit to empower us to live in this world and to give us this abundant and fulfilling life. So we're going to sing this song in response. It's called Resurrection Power.
You call me from the grave by name. You call me out of all my shame. I see the old has passed away, the new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside. Jesus, you have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. I'm dressed in your royalty. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. I see my past has been chains are gone. Freedom, you have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. Hallelujah. Freedom, you have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. Resurrection power, living on the inside.
Well, at the end of our passage, Romans 8, Paul says this: I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as you go out today, would you know the great love of our God? Amen and amen. It was such a joy to worship with you here this morning, and we'll see you next week for Baptism Sunday.